This is North Shore Today for Monday, October 24, 2016. Ariana McNeil writes in the Salem News that the Greater Beverly YMCA may soon have a new education center. YMCA officials have filed paperwork with the city's Conservation Commission to determine whether it could build a new center on its Sterling campus next to its current teen center. If it moves forward, the new center would consolidate the YMCA's early childhood education programs under one roof. The organization currently has 125 spots at the Sterling campus and 60 at its Cabot Street facility. The program provides child care for children from infancy to pre-kindergarten. Danvers voters will have an additional ballot question on Election Day. Question 5, Bill Newell reports.
Residents have been divided about adopting the Community Preservation Act. Question 5 on the ballot November 8 calls for Danvers voters to decide just that. Ethan Foreman in today's edition of the Salem News writes the following. If passed, the CPA would create a 1.5% tax surcharge on property taxes paid. The money would be used for historical preservation, affordable housing, recreation, and open space acquisition. The first $100,000 of property tax value would be exempt from the surcharge, which is matched by the amount from the state. It's been calculated the surcharge could raise as much as $800,000 a year. Using last year's state match of 30%, the state would kick in another $200,000. Former Danvers State Rep. Sally Cairns, Chairwoman of Community Preservation Danvers, says, "We feel that a dedicated fund for open space, recreation, and dedicated fund for community housing and historical preservation will benefit Danvers in many ways." An opponent of the plan, former Selectman Keith Lucy, chairman of the No CPA in Danvers ballot question, says, "It raises your taxes for projects that have not been identified," said Lucy, "which is contrary to how the town has done things historically. They are itemized, defined projects or departments where that money is going to be spent. We have a situation where we are going to raise money for projects for people we haven't identified yet. It's just a bad precedent." There's more on this story in today's edition of the Salem News. I'm Bill Newell for MSO News Sports. Rick?
Very good, Bill. Thank you. Ray Lamont writes in the Gloucester Times that Gloucester taxpayers are committed to paying off more than $164 million in debt service over the next 20 years, according to city financial projections. Ray Lamont continues that doesn't include $13 million in bonds to be issued to cover construction costs for the newly opened West Parish Elementary School. And City Chief Financial Officer John Dunn, or that's what he said, rather. Last week, Dunn prepared a report on long-term city finances for the City Council and School Committee. The amount also does not include short-term borrowing for perennial roadwork and other capital and maintenance projects. The hard figures may sound daunting. Gloucester taxpayers are paying $14.6 million in debt service this fiscal year and have committed to $624,225 in fiscal 2037. That must be 2017. But Dunn and city officials are mulling another issue. How will any city commitment to school construction impact the chance to pursue other projects, such as a new public safety building or water and sewer improvements? The question arose as city and school officials last week discussed options for building one or more new elementary schools. And again, that $624,225 taxpayer commitment in fiscal 2017. Bill Brotherton writes on itemlive.com that Brian May's hectic schedule nearly prevented him from embarking on one of the most exciting chapters of his professional life, The Devil and Billy Shake, a rock opera that will be presented October 29 at Lynn Auditorium. George Simpson, a Saugus-based poet and amateur musician, had written lyrics for The Devil and Billy Shake. His guitar teacher, Kook Laurie, who lives in Linfield, and is a member of May's band, introduced the two during an open mic night at O'Brien's Pub. May's Lynn, born and bred, was back home for a few days taking a break from his gig as lead singer for Ernie and the Automatics, which was on the road opening for Deep Purple. And you can read more about that story and what's going on at the Lynn Auditorium in Bill Brotherton's itemlive.com article. This is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports.